Our world is out of balance. So far out of balance that we've almost forgotten there was ever an alternative. An opportunity for rest as much as action. To focus on fulfillment as much as success, on art as much as science, on community as much as competition, and on power within rather than power over. It's time for things to change, for our world to come back to a place of sacred alignment and all of the beauty that offers. And that rebalancing begins with each and every one of us. I'm Keren, and this is The Divine Feminist, a podcast about putting the magic and common sense of balance back at the very centre of our world. And along the way, about reconnecting with the perfect spark of usness that's always been waiting, outside of the boxes and the shoulds of society, ready to bring us home. Home to ourselves. Well, hello and welcome back to The Divine Feminist. How are you? You know what I'm going to ask there, how are you really? And when I ask that, I'm just going to take a moment, just a few brief moments to invite you to tune in with yourself and see what comes up when you ask yourself that question right now. When I say what comes up, I mean, what do you hear when you ask that question? What do you feel? What do you see? What springs into your mind and your heart and your body? Not just in response to the question, but when you start thinking about what you need, about how to respond to each and every one of those things. Because that's the crux of this, is not just in finding out how we are, but in finding out how we respond to that. What our needs are and how we can meet them. I'm recording this on the day of a lunar eclipse. And that's an interesting one because eclipses are a time when two things tend to happen. The first is that we tend to fall into some sort of void and get very, very sleepy, which is kind of how I felt for the whole of today. It's now almost 5 p.m. and I'm quite impressed that I'm still going because at about 10 a.m. I was all ready for bed. The other thing that happens is that an eclipse tends to mark an ending and a new beginning. It's that moment where we go into the void of an ending and come out the other side into something new. Now, some of those endings and beginnings we anticipate, we know they're coming, we perhaps, even if we're so inclined, time them around an eclipse. But often that's not the case. Often the small deaths that come, the chapter endings that come upon us, we hadn't anticipated at all. And we find ourselves a little thrown off centre. We can find ourselves feeling more than a little bit imbalanced as we desperately try and grasp for solid ground and wonder how on earth we move forwards from this point. If you're feeling that way, then I implore you to come back over and over again to that question of how am I really? To come back over and over again to that question of what do I need? Because, you know, we can't control the world around us. We can't. Even though we might try and even though we might convince ourselves that we should be able to. So often the only thing that we can control is our own responses to the situations that unfold for us. So in that moment, in that mindset, as these endings and beginnings fall upon us, let's remember that, yeah? Let's just take the time to remember what we can control and let go of the rest rather than trying to grasp on and desperately by the skin of our fingertips hold on to control over something that was never meant to be ours. I find today's eclipse, which will be yesterday's eclipse by the time this is released, really interesting because it's conjunct the south node of the moon. Now, I have to say that although I'm fascinated by lunar nodal astrology, I am not a nodal astrology expert. As you know, I'm not an astrology expert, full stop. But the thing that I love about the lunar nodes is that they tie in very strongly, supposedly, with past lives and with our overall soul's journey. The theory is that the south node is kind of like the tail of an arrow. It is where we've been. It's where we're super, super comfortable. In this life, it means the skills, the talents, the abilities, the patterns of behaviour and thought that we've honed that are our safe and comfy ground. In past life work, it means the things that we've learned over and over again, that we've moved through and moved with over and over again. The places that our soul always just falls back to, because no matter how pleasant it is or isn't, there's a strange kind of comfort in it. The north node is the opposite of that. It is the point of the arrow. It is where we're moving towards, the way that we move forward and out of those places of comfort in order to move into a place that really, truly feels expansive for us, that feels aligned with our best interests, that feels aligned with our soul's greatest wisdom and power. The fact that this eclipse is conjunct the south node tells us that this is an opportunity for endings and new beginnings in the places that we have gotten a little bit too comfortable. It's a request to us to look at our lives, to look at our psyches, to look at our souls and say, okay, what is it really time for me to move on from now? What is it really time for me to let go of? And I don't know about you, but that has been coming through big and strong this past weekend. Been coming through big and strong today as I've been working, actually. There's a lot of stuff that I'm being called to look at. And if you are too, know that you're not alone. Know also that if you are feeling really unsettled and as though that call to look into the depths of your own self and your own psyche and your own soul is a little bit too much, you're not alone, but you also don't have to be alone. I mentioned last time around that I was going to be launching a new coaching container that is one-to-one, based very loosely around the 13 keys that I covered in the Divine Feminist book, but more specifically goes into very bespoke ways of working together through coaching, through therapy, through energy healing, and through intuitive guidance to really help you to reconnect with the fullness of that wisdom and that power that is yours. There are details of that in the episode notes today, and you can learn more on my website. But if you're looking for support to move you through this, then I can absolutely help you with that. Enough of that, though, because I want to get onto the subject of today's podcast. And now it's interesting because last time around I mentioned that I was going to be shifting up the way we were doing things with the podcast. It just didn't seem to be flowing right to me, and so I really wanted to focus on those 13 keys that we talk about within the book. These are the core to how we move forward, right? These are the core to how we really truly connect with ourselves and rebalance our lives, hopefully rebalance the world. But when it came to this second episode on that subject, on the subject of a key, I haven't really been sure of what to do with it, if I'm honest. Until this morning, it's all been sitting in the, hanging in the balance until this morning, when I was very much asked to, or encouraged to, think about the journey we take with this key. Now, this one is a little bit late, so unfortunately it's not going to go quite to plan, but nonetheless, I wanted to do an episode for you today and tell you that in future, over the coming weeks and months, as we work through the remainder of the keys that are in the Divine Feminist book, I'm also going to be sourcing your opinions, your views, your experiences on this one. After each podcast that talks about a particular key, I'm going to be asking you to share your thoughts on it. I'm going to be inviting you to write to me via email, via Instagram, wherever you want to, really, and tell me about your experiences in journeying with this key. Because here's the thing, as we highlight this key, as is always the case, as we highlight each key, what I am certain we will find is that we will journey with it. In the 2 weeks that follow, the 4 weeks that follow, we will journey with that topic within ourselves, within our own lives. Now, we get to choose how deeply we journey with that. Of course, sometimes we'll kind of know that it's going on in the background, but not really pay much attention. Other times, if we set the intention of going, okay, what does this mean for me? We will notice that journey unfold. That's something we do a lot of in the Divine Feminist community, of course. So if that's something you're interested in, then by all means, check out the community. Again, the details are in the episode notes for today. However, you don't have to be in the community to do this work. You can, of course, do this on your own with just the podcast for guidance. So I wonder what you have been journeying with in terms of this theme of faith over the past 2 weeks since our last episode. For me, the journey was quite subtle at first, I'm not going to lie to you. It felt like there was so much else going on that I could almost not see the wood for the trees, I guess, as far as this one was concerned. In the immediate days after the podcast went live, we had some pretty big stuff going on family-wise, and I found that I was massively challenged. I was massively challenged to believe that everything would be okay, one, to hold that faith in the world, hold that faith in the universe, I guess. But I was also massively challenged in myself. It really asked me to question everything that was going on, who I was in terms of the work that I do, in terms of how I show up in the world, and whether those things, those skills, those abilities, that insight, that stuff that I really take for granted sometimes within myself, because it comes very naturally to me, whether I could use this in terms of my personal life, whether I could use this in terms of the people that I care about. It asked me a lot of questions that questioned my faith in myself in ways that I didn't even realize I needed to. I'm incredibly grateful to say that we're out of the other side of that now. And what I've learned is that by holding the faith in myself, by holding the faith in those I love, by holding the faith in the world, it was an easier journey to get through. But it raised an awful lot of questions. It was uncomfortable in a way that perhaps cocky old me, when I was talking about faith 2 weeks ago, really hadn't considered. But there's more than that, you know, because as time has gone on, I've found that I've been asked to hold the faith in different ways too. As you know, I talk a lot about how Lilith is very much the patron of the divine feminist. That is an energy that I work with quite regularly, an energy that I certainly used to work with a lot more regularly. And shortly after recording the last episode of the podcast, she started, I was going to say knocking on the door, but knocking on the inside of my head is probably a more appropriate way to put that. And when I finally sat down with my journal and said, what do you want? She told me that I keep asking, I keep talking about these tests of faith, talking about the faith that I have and the faith that is wavering for me. And she said, I'm here. All along, I've always been here, I haven't gone anywhere, but you've just forgotten to ask me. You've forgotten that, you know, your complacency as far as your soul support team is concerned, your complacency now that you're doing this work every single day, which, let's be honest, hasn't always been the case for me. It has led you into a place of doubt where there should just be faith. A place of doubt where other people would be incredibly faith-filled about this experience. It led me to go, okay, cool, then what can you help me with? If I ask you for help, you know, where does this go? What are the boundaries of this? And she actually told me a piece of writing that I'd struggled with for 3 days. She's like, well, let me take over. Sorry, what? Just let me do it. Sit back and let me do it. Now, I should say here that before I started doing soul integration readings and the way I do them now, for a long time, the way that I connected to do readings for clients was by sitting at a computer, often in my pyjamas, and just allowing my fingers to dance over the keyboard, just calling in spirit and saying, go for it, and watching as things flowed out. The way I often journal is by grabbing a pen and then saying, okay, spirit, tell me what you need to tell me, and just watching as things flow out. But when it comes to other work that isn't for clients, other work that is, you know, different, I haven't really done that so much. I'm not really sure why. Is it because I didn't have faith that they would support me in that way? Is it because I didn't believe that I was worthy of support in that way? Is it because I didn't have faith that, you know, the original archetypal rebel would be able to write website copy in the way that I needed her to in 21st century Britain? I don't know. However, I decided to, you know, to coin a phrase, let Lilith take the wheel on this one. And it amazed me how quickly things flowed. It amazed me how quickly things just got done. It amazed me how quickly, if I just lent into the faith that I so often feel in some areas of my life, within other parts of my life, that same flow could take place. And it led me to thinking about this, about those areas of our lives where we so easily fall into places of faith, where we've trained ourselves to be in a position of faith, where we've trained ourselves to flow with that faith and to move with that faith, in comparison to those areas where we've been taught that it has to be more of a struggle. Those areas where perhaps we've been taught that we have to do it ourselves, or we've been taught that there is no help coming, it's all about you. I wondered in that regard, what if we were to just break down those barriers? Is it possible to allow faith to take over the whole of our lives? Is it possible to step into a place of faith for everything? Is it possible to hand over the wheel on the big stuff? Not the little stuff. I'm a firm believer that we should absolutely take charge, that we need to take actions and all of that stuff. But is it possible that we can hand the wheel over sometimes on the bits that we find more scary and say, help me with this, please. Help me with this. Thank you. Regardless of what those things may be. But more than that, is it possible that we can take that faith, the faith that we have in those ancient archetypal energies, the faith that we have in those inspirational folks around us, the faith that we have in the people that we love, and reflect it back to ourselves? I'm reading a book at the moment, I may have mentioned it last time around, called Playing Big by Tara Moore. It's one that's been recommended to me for years and years, and only just finally have I started to read it. There's a piece in there where Tara talks about how we so often allow our lives to be ruled by the inner critic. That little voice that's probably based on teachers from when we were young, or on high school bullies, or a critical parent, or someone else entirely that reminds us, you can't do that. You're not good enough at that. You shouldn't. You can't. You won't. It'll never work. It'll never work. You might as well give up now. She asks, what if instead of doing that, we allowed ourselves to live in line with our inner mentor? Some wise future version of us who actually we could look up to. Who knows how things work, because they've seen how it plays out, and it plays out well. To do that, we don't need to time travel. We don't need to manifest the perfect outcome, because somewhere in there is a version of you that has seen how this plays out. Just as somewhere in there is your inner child, somewhere in there is your inner teenager, somewhere in there is your inner critic, somewhere within you is also an inner mentor. The one who, if they were to go back now to a 16-year-old version of you who's worrying about school exams, would be able to say, let me tell you how it all pans out. And let me tell you how, when that pans out, that will lead you on to the next step and the next one. And one day soon, these exams that you're so worried about, they'll just be figments of your past. That actually all went okay. That inner mentor of yours enables you to look backwards from where you are in future to instead where you are right now, and to say, yep, I've seen how this plays out. Don't worry about it. It might seem like the biggest mountain in your path at the moment, but I know that you can overcome it. I know that you move forward, and I know that one day you look back and say, yep, I did that. But more, I can start to guide you through that journey, because I've been there already. I've noticed that when I tune into this inner mentor of mine, I can't help but have faith in myself. I'm not saying that means it never wavers, but I am saying, because I start to remember all the things I've already overcome. I start to remember all the ways that me today would have been a mentor to me in days gone by. That me today would have been somebody that me in days gone by would have been proud of, would have been grateful for, would have looked up to with starlit eyes, going, oh my goodness, if only I could be like you. And I start to think that I'm not done yet. There is so much more of my life yet to unfold. There is so much more of me yet to share with the world. There is so much more of me for me to embrace and for me to have faith in. And so if only I can look to that inner mentor that lies ahead, perhaps I can start to embrace that faith and that wisdom and that knowing now, today. Perhaps I can call upon her guidance and her wisdom and her insight now. Of course, saying all of that, I'm seeing the areas where my faith in myself is still challenged too. And this is where this week of sort of lunar eclipse is perfect. Because although as you listen to this, the lunar eclipse will have already taken place, there is another one yet to come. There is another eclipse coming up in just a few weeks. And these eclipses, again, are great opportunities for us to relinquish, for us to step into that void of change, for us, in many ways, to allow a part of ourselves to die and to be reborn again. Now, if as you hear me say that, you go, no, but I need to control what does and doesn't die. I'm scared that the wrong thing will end. I hear you. Because I have been there myself too on many an occasion. But what if you held the faith in yourself that the bits you want to keep, you can keep in touch with those. They can be all right. The bits of yourself that you're going to allow to die, though, you are going to allow, because remember that you have the ultimate power over what you choose to do, what you choose to pay attention to, where you choose to give your energy and all of those other things. The bits of yourself that you're ready to release, the bits of yourself that you're ready to let die, allow them to go into this eclipse portal. Allow yourself to grieve them, to fear what you are without them, to shed some tears for what you could have been and are not, and then release them. Maybe do that physically, you know? I had a client recently who told me that she didn't want to work with fire because it scares her a little bit. She doesn't have any outdoor space, so she didn't really want to do anything that involved burying anything or letting it go out into the wind. So instead, we arranged for her to speak everything that she wished to release into a glass of water, and then tip that glass of water down the toilet, flushing with gay abandon as she went. She came back to me afterwards and said that was a really powerful exercise and it really worked. Because it's just about releasing. It's about tangibly putting your energy into something that allows you to feel like you have released, you have let go, you have said goodbye. The thing is, we can't welcome in the new without first saying goodbye to the old. But in order to do that, we need an aspect of faith, don't we? It's like when we breathe. We breathe out, trusting that there will be air left for us to breathe in again. We let go of all of that lifeblood of oxygen from our body, trusting that when we go, more will be waiting for us. We have faith that that is the case. And so this is what I ask you to do this eclipse season. To release. To let go. To do all of the grieving and the letting go that you need in order to take that great big out breath that is an ending to one phase of your life. An ending to those parts of you that just aren't fit for purpose anymore. Even if the only thing that comes under that category is an ending to the voice that doesn't have faith in you. Allow yourself to breathe it out. Allow yourself to speak it into the water. Allow yourself to write it onto the page and then set fire to the page, bury the page, throw the water down the toilet, and just allow yourself to pause in that space of release. Knowing that when you do, when you choose to breathe back in, when you choose to come back to yourself, when you choose to call in the new, and when you choose to step through that threshold transformation into the chapter that awaits, you call in what is right for you. You call in a voice that has faith. You call in the inner mentor. You call in all that is to come, and you call in your new beginning. I think my greatest wish as we journey with this idea of faith, it kind of began, if I'm honest, with the idea of us unpacking that very term faith. So that my greatest wish from the outset was that we find a faith that feels right for us, instead of believing that faith is religion, that religion is God. But as I've moved through this, I've realized that my greatest wish when it comes to us talking about this topic of faith is for us to reclaim faith in ourselves, to remember what it is to have faith in ourselves, to reclaim all of the parts of ourselves that we have faith in and with, and to be in that place of faith, to be that faith, to embody that faith. Because when we do that, it almost doesn't matter what the world throws at us. Yes, we will still have problems. Yes, we will still lose things. Yes, we will still have times when we are sad and times when things don't work out as we want them to and times when we are on our knees. But when we do that from a place of faith in ourselves, it becomes so much easier to manage. So I'm going to keep today's podcast short, partly because I got to the point of what this second episode of the month should be far too late to record this, partly because it's the day of an eclipse and I'm not really making much sense, and partly because this isn't about me. This topic of faith and your journey with it isn't about me or anything I say. It's about you. And I'm going to invite you to spend the next 15 minutes that you'd normally spend listening to me yabber on, instead tuning into yourself. tuning into those parts of you that you're ready to release to make way for a greater sense of faith in the most incredible soul that you connect with this lifetime, in the most incredible companion that you have, yourself. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you'd like to know more, check out the show notes below. Or if you'd like to take the next steps on your own journey of self-reconnection and sacred balance, head over to Instagram, where it's at divine.feminist, or to our website, divinefeminist.com. I'll be back again very soon, but until then, I'd love to hear from you. So please get in touch if there's anything you'd like to share. If you don't want to miss out on future episodes, head to your favourite podcasting platform and click subscribe. And hey, if you feel so called, then maybe give us a rating there too. Ideally 5 stars. For now though, thank you for being here. Take care, and never forget that every journey of change begins with coming home to yourself.